Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. It is the top of the new year, and we are so excited to be here for you to bring you the very best information on how to make that happily ever after happen and how to make your dreams come true. This is a really exciting episode for me because today's guest has done so many things that we talk about. She is so multifaceted that I feel like we can bring her on every single week for months, and we still wouldn't have the wealth of information that she has to share with us. So I felt it was so appropriate that she kick off our year in such a magical and magnificent way. Her name is Renee Pien, and she is just literally a stellar twinkle of a star and a light in relationships. She is a love and dating expert. She is a matchmaker for love and for business. She is absolutely a master at connecting people, and she is the author of Love Mechanics, and she has a new book coming out, which is Get Real About Love, and we're going to talk about that. She is also the president of RapidDating.com and the RapidDatingNetwork.com, and she has for 18 years been successfully hooking up thousands and thousands of people for love, for friendships, and for business connections. She is widely acclaimed. She is one of the most sought-after inspirational speakers on dating, and she's a love coach and a consultant whose life work is absolutely devoted to educating men and women on how to become fulfilled in their own lives, how to develop lasting relationships, and how to find true love. What more could we want for this show? She's incredible. She is truly a matchmaker for love and business, and she's now working with major corporations. She's hosting Rapid Network sessions at popular marketing and motivational conferences. She is a lecturer. She's a talk show host. She's been on CNN, NBC, ABC, The Today Show, Lifetime, QRQQ, KISS. She's featured on the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. She's had her own online radio show. She is just amazing. Her books, her connections, she used to be a wedding planner. She has ways to keep the fire burning in your romantic life, ways to entice, provocative, seductive, succulent, gorgeous ways to fall in love, to stay in love, to keep in love, ways to make the whole journey down that aisle and to the day of the happily ever after, the happiest journey, not a crazy journey in the months that are before the wedding. And she really is the expert of experts in relationships, in weddings, in joyous and happily ever after. And we are so blessed and so excited and so thrilled to have her on today's show. So let's welcome Renee. Renee, welcome to our show.
Wow. I wonder, can I keep up with this? This is a great intro. Thank you so much. You know, when I listen to everything that I do, I go, wow, did I really do all that? But I did. It's because it's my passion. Love and sharing and putting people together really has been a gift that I give to the world because it's just something that I saw that was needed. And so I'm overjoyed to be here today to share anything that you'd like to know because I've been doing this a long time.
Okay, well, the first thing I want to know is, did I pronounce your name correctly?
No, my name is Renee Piani. But, you know, people call me a pain. They call me Renee Peeny. So I've been called a lot of names, but I'm Italian. I'm 100% Italian, and my name's Renee Antoinette Piani. And now Campanella, married to an Italian as well. So it's Renee Piani Campanella. And yeah.
Okay, so I look at your website. And, I mean, and I am, it's really funny today. We've been working on all of the Hourglass Bride websites. And so I'm an expert at going through love and relationship sites. But your site, you have so much information and so much valuable, so many valuable tools and secrets and techniques. And so tell me where you began. Like, you know, we talk about all the time on these shows that when somebody's little and they're 4 and they're 6 and they're 10 and they want to be Miss America, they want to be an astronaut, they want to be a teacher. Did you know that you were going to help people fall in love?
I think it's, you know, it's interesting you would ask me that, because when I was a little girl, I was an extrovert my whole life, and I went to a Catholic, all-girl Catholic school, and even then, when I was young, I was always on stage, and I was performing in plays and dancing, and so I was always the one to get the shyer person and bring them up on the stage. And even back then, the nuns used to ask me to help the, you know, more shy or nerdy little girls in school. And I'd think, you know, my mom would be like, you know, I felt like the social director at school. So I just started. It was a natural thing. Plus, I was brought up in a family that were caterers. So we used to host parties and events. So I was brought up that way, you know, always around large family and friends and family. So we were always entertaining, and my father catered weddings. So that was how I got into the whole wedding business, because of him. And I didn't actually want to work in the catering part of it because it was a lot of work. But I ended up working in a beauty salon as a part-time job when I was in my teens. So I combined, you know, the socializing with people. And then when you're touching people, they tell you everything about themselves. So it was like a combination. My whole life I've been helping people, I think. It's just part of my, I guess, my calling. You know, it's part of my calling to help put people together and to help them look pretty and get ready for a wedding or get ready for, you know, to feel the best that they can be. So I've been doing that a long time, whether I'm feeding them or entertaining them or inspiring them.
I love it. And you started as kind of a wedding planner, right? You were helping people with the hair and the makeup and the planning. I mean, now it's blossomed into something gigantic, but that was really like your first step on the follow the yellow brick road path, right?
Yes, it was. Well, as a beautician, as a cosmetologist and makeup artist, and brides would come in, and then I would go to their home and, you know, talk to their mother and go, you know, pick out their clothes, their dresses, the colors that were right for them, the makeup, the hairstyles for everyone. You know, sometimes I'd meet the whole bridal party. And sometimes, you know, even the groom and his family, because sometimes the grooms didn't know what they were doing or what gifts to give the bride, you know, and the bride would say, gosh, I wish he would give me this or that. So I would help them put together their whole everything. I would, like, sort of be their bride slave. I used to call myself a bride slave, and I would do all of that. And then, of course, my father would cater the wedding, so we would coordinate the colors of, you know, the tablecloths and all of that with, you know, the bride. And it just was a natural fit for me because of how I was raised. And, you know, having my whole family be caterers, you know, and working with brides. So it was a easy way for me. But I loved it. You know, I loved it because I was around love. And sometimes I would see brides that shouldn't get married, frankly. You know, I'd see the families, and I'd think, God, these two families don't really get along, you know. So I would say,
are there common mistakes when you were, you know, doing the wedding planning that you see people that you're talking about, the hair and the makeup and the thing and the catering? Are there, can you say these are three common mistakes or pitfalls or do's or don'ts just from your years of experience there?
Oh, absolutely. I think that number one would be, you know, to make sure that, well, if it comes to, you mean the catering part or the personal part? Which part?
Either one. Since you were on both ends of the coin, you know, what would you say to somebody, you know, that's in that position, you know, that watch out for this or do this?
That's a great question. First of all, the person that helps you plan your wedding, you have to like their personality. It's like a matchmaking, you know. So when people come to me to ask me to help them with their wedding, even now, I put them together with bridal, you know, like companies out here in California, people that are party planners. But it's a match. It's sort of being like a matchmaker. So when I say I'm a matchmaker for love and business, that's why I put people together with the right photographers. It's really important to like your photographer, your caterer, and your wedding planner. If they're cranky or not sort of on the same vibe as you, if you're a real bubbly person and they're not, usually people that party plan really are extroverted people, but you really need to go and meet a few different people before you choose who is going to help you with your special day. That's number one. In all those areas, go to and, you know, get referrals from friends by looking at, you know, their wedding pictures or, you know, the girl, you know, how they looked on their wedding day. It's always good to get good referrals. But then go meet the person and say, this is my goal, this is my mission, you know, can you show me some of your work? and really get a vibe whether you like them or not. The second thing would be picking your bridal party and making sure that the girls and the men that you choose are fun and are really there to support you, and because there's nothing worse than having a jealous attendant in your wedding. And it does cause, that's why they have these bridal nightmare shows, you know, Bridezilla shows, because either the mother-in-law is controlling or one of the bridesmaids is frankly a bitch and is jealous and, you know, doesn't really want to step up, doesn't have any money. And it is a huge obligation for a person to commit to being in the bridal party because of the shower, the gowns, the shoes, the, you know, all of the expense. So you don't want to pick somebody that's broke. Unless you want to pay. You got to pay to play with the people you want in your bridal party, you know. So, you know, sometimes people get married and I'll say to the bride, make sure your maid of honor especially is somebody that really cares about your heart and is going to be able to go through the, you know, the ebbs and flows of all the stuff that you have to do to prepare for a wedding. But I always tell people, you got to enjoy it. The preparation for the wedding is actually when you really get to know how close your friends are, you know, getting to know the families and how the dynamics of the families, and also the bride and groom have to stay connected because some brides get kind of bossy and can be cranky and bitchy a little bit with the men that they're getting involved with. So I made it really my husband a big part of our wedding, and I designed my whole wedding. It was a goddess themed wedding, and it was beautiful. I had two weddings, one in California and one in Delaware. So I planned two huge weddings. One on the east, one on the west, and it was a lot of work, but I did it. I did it. It was fun to plan my own wedding.
It's amazing. Now, so, when you're saying that, you know, I love the fact that you're saying make sure that you get along with your bridal party and that you don't have somebody that's jealous. And I know that when you and I were talking the other day, we were also talking about not just, what was your word, a bitchy, you know, person in your...
Yeah, don't be a bitchy bride. You know, how not to be a bitchy bride.
Yes, So you want to talk about that for a minute? Because I thought that
well, I mean, it's an overwhelming responsibility, and you need to be organized or you get overwhelmed, and sometimes you pass on your feelings of anxiety on to the people that are, you know, in your bridal party. I have a really good friend who asked one of her very best friends to be, you know, her maid of honor, and she said it was the biggest nightmare ever, and it made her wedding so miserable, you know, or having a bride, you know, get really bossy and demanding financially of women is one of the biggest problems that I see, is that the bride has expectations that are way, way over the top. So if you are planning a wedding, you need to let the girls in the wedding party know, you know, what the roles and responsibilities that you expect. And sometimes they're over the top. That's why they created reality shows, you know, the bossy, bitchy brides, you know. So you got to be careful about that. And one thing that I recommend for brides is to use something that they can get in a health food store called Rescue Remedy to calm their nerves. And when I would go to my bride's houses, I'd put, it's just a really cool product that's made out of flowers that you can put in your water to calm you down. It's amazing. It's called Rescue Remedy. And I used it on my wedding day and put it in everybody's water. Nobody even knew. I went and put it in all the water so everybody would be calm.
It's a great way to keep balanced. And I know as we're talking about the onset and people that are getting married, but I know that the wedding and the romance and the dream and the vision of the happily ever after doesn't end on the day you get married. It just begins. And I know a great
absolutely
part, your body of work is really how to keep that love and that spark going. And I would love you to share with our audience some of your work in that field as well, because I think that's just as important as the journey down the red carpet or that white carpet to getting married, but the journey then into the future and the happily ever after.
Well, you know, when we talked about this the other day, I was talking about vows. You know, to me, when you make a sacred vow to choose a person, like that's why whether a person that's listening is single, on the show are married or getting married, you're choosing someone to build your life with them, right? So it's not just about your gown and how you look and your hair and all that that day, even though that's important. It's more about you being in front of all the people you love and making a commitment to this other soul that you have chosen to build, co-create an amazing life with, right? So to me, that's the most important decision you can ever make in your life. And I had a lot of divorce throughout my Italian wild family that I have, which is what my book is about, and how I had to open myself up to trust and believing in love. And that comes with getting real, right? Getting real with yourself about what you need and what you want. And that's why couples, as they go forward, sometimes have expectations of the other person. And if you don't live together, which most people don't before they get married, when you go to co-create your living space, you have an expectation of what it's going to be like. So getting real means to get real about what your hopes and dreams are together. So that when you get together, you know, like a lot of people, like I just was at a wedding of one of my clients who I helped to get married, who never thought she was going to get married. And now that she is married, her husband is a little more bossy than she knew because she never lived with him. So he had expectations that she was going to have dinner every night and that it was going to be like this fairy tale that he had imagined. And she's a very independent woman. And she called me. She says, I don't know what to do with him. He's more demanding than I thought. And I said, well, this is the get real part. You guys need to sit down and talk about your roles and expectations to keep that fire burning, because they were all hot and heavy, you know, waiting to get married. They spent 2 years, you know, building the relationship and creating the wedding and everything. And he did not like planning the wedding. So now that they're married, I've given them a lot of tools on communication and how to slow down and how to talk to each other about the real issues that make you happy, bug you when you're married. I mean, being married, I mean, are you married? Are you a married woman?
I am not, no. So I'm taking all this information to heart, Buddha, especially when we're going to talk about how to find somebody.
Yeah. Well, gosh, this is what I do on my radio show for the last all these years, is teaching people the tools to get ready for love. But when you are in love, you have to go back to those vows. So when I work with brides and grooms, I say, before you just let a priest or a minister do your vows, why don't you create your own set of things that you are going to vow to each other, right? Like, I'm going to vow to support you in your growth, or I'm going to be there through any health challenge or love challenge, or, you know, to be able to communicate honestly my feelings, even though it might be painful, to how to communicate, learning how to communicate with each other. And in my work with couples, you know, gay couples, straight couples, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. It's really knowing yourself and getting real with the things that hurt your heart or the things that might be sensitive to you, and be able to communicate that without getting angry. And with myself, I've been with my husband now, who was my very first and only husband, I'm going to say, right here live on this show, my one and only. You know, with all the things that I do, sometimes I get, you know, calls from people all over the world that are going through tragedy or going through a breakup or whatever, and I'll say to him, honey, I got to get on a call. It's not like I work 9 to 5, you know, it's not a normal life. When he met me, I said, if you're going to sign up to be in my life, you need to know that I'm here to help people with their hearts. And I put people together, and I work with singles and couples, and it's kind of an unusual job. And he goes, well, I've never heard of a love, you know, coach or anything like that. I said, well, it's not a normal life, so if you don't want to sign up for it, don't. But he always says our life is so exciting because he never knows what's going to happen. So that's part of keeping it spicy in a marriage is, you know, doing things that are exciting or having a career and loving what you do so that you're happy in your life and you and both of your partner have things that they love to do that keep things spicy. As my mother always used to say, if you're bored, you're boring. You know, people go, well, sometimes it can be boring being with the same person. I'm like, it's not boring if you're not boring. You know, so a lot of people get into a rut in marriage, and so I'm very spicy because I'm Italian.
And you could tell that you're spicy, and I want to go back for just a second to the vows. We had John Ireland on, who's a minister, and he was talking that vows are not compliments. I think you're sexy. I really like you. You know, that vows, like what you're saying, what are you committed to do? What are you in your heart? You know, if you're jumping, and what are you, when you say I do, what are you doing? And what are you, you know? And I think that's so beautiful. And when you were sharing that when you met your husband and that you told him that you were a dating coach and that you help people fall in love, and not only are you a dating coach, but I just have to give you such accolades because I know that you were just nominated as one of the top national dating coaches in the world, and you're offered this incredible honor. And so I just wanted to congratulate you. I didn't want to let that minute go by. You were
thank you. It's really exciting because in the dating world, there's thousands of people that do what I do, but they haven't done it for as many years, you know. And sometimes I, you know, last year a girl won that, really nice girl, but she had only been doing it for a year, and she worked for an international company, and she came up to me and she said, I feel so bad. And I said, why? She goes, because you've been doing this a long time. And I said, you know what? It's all about the votes, you know. What can you do? But I'm honored that I got nominated, and I'm just here to spread love. That's what I'm here to do, you know. And whether I win it or not, in my heart, I feel that it's my calling. It really is sort of a spiritual calling for me because I see so much loneliness. One of the things that I know is after working with, more than 500,000 singles over all the years that I've worked, that, you know, the work that I've done has made such a difference. So to me, when I get a phone call, like I just got a phone call 2 days ago and an email from a woman. I should probably put it up on my Facebook. If people go to Facebook, they can go there or sign up on my website. She came to my class all bitter and angry. I had met her at a conference, and I spoke, and she goes, I'm done with love. I'm fed up with love, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I can guarantee you if you take my Get Ready for Love class, I could change that for you, right? Well, she signed up. She, the first week, 2 weeks into the class, she met a man, and the story is up on my radio show. She met this man while she was assisting her neighbor to move, and she was 54 years old, and she was very bossy, demanding Wonder Woman, and she just had it with men. So she was helping the woman, and I had told her. She goes, I work at home, and I don't dress up, and I'm not into flirting, and I'm not into being friendly with men. The hell with them all. And I said, well, there you go. That's where you're going to end up, alone and in hell, you know, because you're unhappy. So anyway, got her. I said, when you go out, the next time you go out, just try it one time. Put something makes you feel pretty on, and some lipstick and a little blush, because you can meet your husband anywhere you go, right? So she heard my voice in her head, put on some lipstick and a cute pink velour, like jumpsuit workout outfit, and helped her neighbor move. And when she went to a manager's apartment, because the woman was in a wheelchair, she knocked on his door, and this handsome man opened the door. And all she could think of is, thank God I wasn't in my schleppy pajamas that I usually wear when I go out to do errands, and that she had a little bit of makeup on. And the man instantly fell for her and chased her, and they're now getting married. So in one moment, your life can change. In any moment, it doesn't matter, but it's all about having an open heart. Whether you're a woman looking for a husband or you're a man out there looking who's been divorced, I mean, there's, you know, the statistics on divorce now are really high. So it's really important for people to choose properly by coming from a full and open heart. And most people get their hearts broken through the years. I don't know, you know, if you have those type of people, but if you've had disappointments or, you know,
we've done the starting over shows, and, you know, and we continue to talk about that and how to do that, whether it's the loss of a spouse or a loved one, whether you're and your husband was just killed in the war, or whether you've been married, you know, for many, many years and have just lost somebody. But, you know, when you're talking about the divorce rate, and I know that in talking to you, you teach rituals for romance, and then you also teach people how to reinvent their love and keep that fire burning. And so what would you say to somebody who is getting married, or somebody that has been married 3 or 4 or 5 times and they want this one to stick? What makes that work? What is the magic recipe or that magic formula to keep that romance alive?
Number one, gratitude for having the blessing of finding someone that is, you know, has chosen you. When I look at my husband, I think, wow, you know, I'm so lucky. I say to him every single day, I am the luckiest girl in the world. I give him a lot of appreciation and thank him all the time for the little things that he does. I think that women complain that men don't romance them once they get married. That's like the biggest complaint that I get. Like, oh, now that we're married, it's over. He doesn't chase me anymore. And then the men say that the women don't appreciate anything that they do. So a lot of it has to do with you as a woman getting into that space of romance yourself. I believe that it's the feminine energy and the female energy that sort of rules the relationship with our beauty, with our voice, with the way that we treat ourselves so that when we're happy, you know, they always say happy wife, happy life, right? But
yes,
it's not up to a man to make us happy. It's up to us to create the rituals by taking care of ourselves, by working out, by meditation, prayer, whatever faith that you're from, you know, to really get in touch with the joy inside of yourself. And some people are, in the world today, people are so busy, they don't take time for that. You have to carve out time, you know, for love. And that is what I think that I do. Like when people come to my house or they see me with my husband, we are constantly hugging or touching each other. We're very affectionate with each other, not overly affectionate where it's like, oh my God, those crazy people. But I'm constantly in contact with him or, you know, if we're at dinner, I'll, you know, touch his hand or I'll say something, you know. But I do it from my heart. It's not like it's contrived where, oh, I have to tell my husband he's handsome today or thank him for making me eggs this morning, you know. It comes from the heart. You know, he made breakfast this morning, so I came down and he goes, I made breakfast for you, and I go over and give him a hug. We take time outs during the day to, sometimes, you know, because I work really long hours or he'll be traveling, so I'll say, can we take a KT or a QT? When I first met him, he goes, what's that? I said, koala time. Now, this is something very silly, but sometimes we will go down, we'll go lay down for 10 minutes and just lay in bed and hug each other and take a little rest. And I call it KT, or I call it KT, but it's really QT, koala time. Or is it koala? Is it koala? No, it's KT, KT, koala time. So it's a 10-minute little rest where you're connecting or kissing or hugging, you know. So I'm very affectionate, and I go out with other couples a lot, and sometimes, you know, the wife's like, how do you keep your husband so interested in you? I said, I keep him interested in me because I'm interested in him and listening and remembering things that he says and doing them, and then he'll appreciate me doing them. So it's all the little things that add up, the compliments. You know, he always tells me that he thinks I'm beautiful, and he'll send me little things. I write him little love notes. He travels a lot, so I write him little love notes in his suitcase. And I do a lot of little romantic things. We buy each other cards. But it's something that is led by the feminine energy and the sound of your voice. Men always say to me, my wife is constantly nagging me. And I said, well, obviously she would like something from you, and if she keeps bugging you and bugging you, it means you're not listening. So when couples are having challenges with communication, I always tell them to write down all the great things about their spouse and all the things that drive them a little crazy about each other. And then, you know, we do some work together to create a commitment, again, reigniting the commitment. So it's always about reinventing, you know. So you reflect on your love by communication, and it can be challenging. When you're not connecting, you know, like when, if a woman has a baby and then the husband is feeling left out and then he starts to sulk, you got to remember, ladies out there and men out there, we all have a little boy and a little girl inside of all of us, right? I don't care how old you are. When you get rejected, you know, sometimes it triggers some sadness inside of you from your youth or a time in your past or whatever, and we get sulky. I know, I have a little girl inside of me. Don't you? Don't you have a little girl inside of you?
absolutely have a little girl inside of me, and I have the innocent, you know, inside of me, and the curious, you know, child inside of me. And I love, you know, when you're talking about that, my parents just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary.
Really?
And my father proposed on the first date. He said he knew in his heart that she was the one, and my mom knew as well. And they make each other laugh. They make each other smile. They are constantly surprising one another. And the respect that they have for one another. But when, you know, my father walks in the room and my mother walks in the room, the other one just lights up like a Christmas tree, and you would think they just met. They are the two most loved people you ever saw. But when you were talking about rituals as a child, I remember when we were talking about not just date nights, that they would, you know, go away for weekends, even if it was just to the hotel down the street and my grandparents would watch us just so they had that romantic time.
Well, or lucky they, you.
You know,
lucky
my,
you to get
I
that.
My mom, breakfast in bed or whatever it was, but it was they always did these things that were special for one another and brought each other joy. And I, you know, we were talking about rituals the other day, and you were even saying that you have a ritual, your anniversary ritual with your husband, which I'd love you to share, and why those rituals are important in keeping that spark alive and that reinvention of not just, you know, something that you've done before, but something that's new and exciting or something that brings you back to the center and the core of your love.
Well, every anniversary, we both, he'll wear a white shirt, and I always wear a white dress of some kind, and we go back to a spot. There was a beautiful park in Santa Monica, California, that you always see in the movies where you see all the palm trees, and we go back to this. There was this one particular spot that was down the street from where I used to live, and I used to walk down there to look over the ocean, and I would pray there, and I'd say, God, I'm ready for love, you know, and I know looking at the vast ocean that, and, you know, out at the sky and everything, I would just say, I'm ready, you know, when the right one comes along, I'll bring him back here, but I'm going to, you know, I prayed at this particular spot a lot. I just would meditate there or just sit there and just sort of bask in the beauty of where I lived and think, wow, I'm going to bring the man I love here someday, you know. And so every year when it's the day of our anniversary around, you know, right before sunset, we go to this particular spot. We bring our vows that we had created for our wedding. Mine are on this one sheet of paper. We still have our original vows written out. And we update them for the year. So he'll think, you know, he'll contemplate before we leave, and I'll rewrite a few things. And then we bring the music on this little portable Bose thing that I have that we got married to, and we plug that in. We got a dog 2 years ago. He came this year as our witness with us to the park, and we went to the park, and we always put the music on, and then we re-say our vows to one another, and people walking by go, oh, my God, you guys are getting married. So I say, yeah, we get married every year. So we recommit to the commitment every single year. And it fires us up, and then we go on a little trip. And you were saying about your parents, about the little weekend getaways. I think that that's very important for people that are married to get out of the house, even though it's fun. You know, I love being in my home, but it's something about going away, you know. You're away from your computers. You're away from work, and you can really be present with one another. We go to Laguna Beach sometimes or just nearby. We actually went back to the hotel that he stayed in when he was courting me. When I met my husband, he lived 3,000 miles away. So when you read anything about our love story, you can go and hear my love or read my love story on my site under About Renee. You can see my wedding pictures and my love story. It was a very unusual way to meet him. And we knew pretty much right when I met him, I knew that he was my husband pretty much right away. And he said he felt the same, but he was 3,000 miles away. So we have a pretty magical love story. And so we like to keep the magic going. I call it, we're out making, when you call my machine on my cell phone, it says, I'm out making magic. What are you doing? So I believe that we are all individually, male or female, responsible for the spark, the passion, and the magic in our lives with friends, with family. And I have this theme of my life, like if I'm with somebody, I just imagine what do I leave with that person when I leave them? You know, the last thing I tell them usually is I love you or give them a big hug so that when they think of me, they think of something happy, you know. And those are the things that people need to do. They need to take time for love, you know, and leaving happy thoughts with people.
You rekindle and redo your vows. Because, you know, I know it's so easy for somebody to say, I'm committed for a year. And a year from this point, I will meet you right back here and we'll do this again. And it's easier to say a year than it is to say forever, even when it's forever in your heart, and say, yeah, next year I'm going to commit, you know, again. And I love that you do that. And when you're talking about falling in love and that your story is on your website, can you share with everybody that's listening to the show what your website is and how to find you?
Sure. It's www.renee, R-E-N-E-E, P like Peter, IANE.com. That's ReneePiani.com. And I do have, you know, classes and stuff coming up and love stories, a lot of love columns, radio shows, all sorts of links on there. But more importantly, I will even offer any of your listeners a free 15-minute phone consultation if they, you know, sign up on my site or email me and say, I would love to talk to you to see if I might be help them if they're going through something, a heartbreak or a disappointment or want to get back in the game of love. That's really my main market are people that are getting back out into the game of love or want to reignite their love. And then I do work with brides also, you know, that are really preparing for love. And I'm, in the very near future, I'm going to become a minister so that I can start helping brides, you know, actually create their music for their wedding ceremonies and all that, because I'm totally into all of the ritual parts of it. It's just so much fun for me. And I do, my husband and I have a lot of special rituals like that. We actually pray and thank God for each other every day. Now, not everybody's spiritual, but I just really believe that blessing your love and thanking, being grateful for everything is part of what I do. I'm always just saying, thank you, sweetheart. You're so wonderful. And he was married twice before. So women out there or men out there that are, you know, out in the dating game, do not rule out people that have been divorced. You know, do not, because they're, you know, just because they have been divorced, they could have, you know, they could have just chosen the wrong person, because most people are always so busy that they don't really take time to get to know who they're marrying. It's really important for you to do that. Very important.
That's so funny that you said that, because I have friends that have been divorced and relatives that have been divorced that are incredible men. And I see the way they dote and care, and they're dedicated and they're loyal. And I watch them, and I was like, they just had married the wrong person, you know, at that time. But, gosh, they'd just be so wonderful, you know, for somebody, you know, that really wants to be loved.
That's
and
right.
And wants to be nurtured by somebody spectacular. And then I know that you do a lot of work with people, and like you were saying, that you would go to the park and that mm-hmm. you would do your prayer and you would do your visioning for your true love to come and that mm-hmm. you would bring him back there. And you also do a lot of work with vision boards, and you have other techniques mm-hmm. as finding and calling in your true love.
Absolutely.
Me especially. So can you talk about that today? Because I know that that's just such a huge subject of how do you call in the one.
Well, you know, there's so many books on all of this, and my new book, Get Real About Love, is all about getting to know your heart and what is most important for you. Most people think that another person's going to come along and just everything's going to be great, right? But it's really about, is your heart open? Like you were talking about these men that are, you know, back out in the dating game again, or and you see them and you think, wow, you know, they'd be great husbands. But I have to tell all the women out there, when my first book came out, Love Mechanics, I was teaching men the secrets into how women think. And I used to be mad at men because I thought that they knew everything, that they were going to be our prince, right? That the man was going to come along, be the prince, know everything that I needed in advance, right? And I realized after working in television and working, doing interviews with men over the years, that most of these men, especially the different generations, this is what's so fascinating about my work, doing rapid dating, I worked with people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and even into their 60s that were single. Every single generation that's dating out there has different dating rules, right? So the old school rules of our parents say you're sort of in my age range. You know, your parents have a 50th anniversary. So you figure they've been together a long time. So any woman that's out there dating a man, if a woman's 40 and up, she might be dating a man in his 50s or 60s or whatever. You know, you go 20-year range. Any guy that's over 45, he was probably brought up by a 50s mom, right? And I don't know about you. Were you brought up by a 50s mom or a 40s mom? You were brought up by an old-fashioned mom, right? You had an old-fashioned sort of lifestyle the way that I did. And the men didn't get love training. Hello? They didn't get it. So the way to find love is to get in touch with what is most important for you. The reason I call myself a love designer, and I have all these different tools that I give to people, whether I work with couples, married people, whatever, is because each and every soul that's listening to this has the opportunity to design love the way you want it, whether it's to get married again, to get married at all, to become a mother, to become a father. Everyone has, in our lifetime now, with the times changing, people are waiting longer to get married. There's 50 to 70% divorce rate, depending on where you live around the world. And people are waiting longer to get married now because they see that the choices of our parents or their parents getting married at 18. My mom got married at 18. All of my aunts got married at 17. My grandmother and her sisters were all married 16 and 17 years old, having children at 18, 19, 20, right? So what my work is about, to find love, to open your heart and find true love. The name of the book is called Get Real About Love, The Secrets to Opening Your Heart. So Nicole or whoever out there is listening, the secret to it is knowing yourself so that when you meet somebody, you can say, like I did, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is what my family's like, this is what my life is like, and these are my values. So all of us have different values and different needs and different wants. So by getting real with your heart and looking at the crust that could still be left over from John, Steve, Mary, Susan, all the people you've dated from the past, right? Those thoughts and beliefs that happen from a disappointment or old relationship challenges or what happened in your family. Luckily for you, Nicole, you had a great role model of love. But in my work, I see hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people that had crappy role models, had no guidance, no mentors of people that had that kind of love. So now that I healed myself, because frankly, my book is my true story of how I had to heal three generations of cheating men in my family. And I did not get married until I was older because I was out helping everyone else so that I didn't have to deal with my own pain. Do you understand?
I do. And it's interesting when you talk about what men don't know and what the expectations are, because I know even for someone like myself, I mean, I'm the bravest, most adventurous person I know. I jump off cliffs into a raging ocean. I do high-wire trapeze. I ride bareback horses. You know, I race sailboats. I mean, I am the athlete, the epitome of the great, brave adventure. But yet, it's still, for me, so important that somebody opens a car door or that they open a door or that someone walks me to my car. And mm-hmm. if someone doesn't walk me to my car, even a business associate, if I have a business meeting and someone doesn't walk me to my car, I won't do business with them. Because if my safety is not important to them, then I really don't care to work with them. And I had a male friend of mine, and I was saying that if somebody doesn't walk me to my car, I won't see them again if it's a man. And he said, Nicole, don't you think that's important that people know that? Because most men, women aren't that way anymore. They don't want a man that does that. And but for me, it's so important that I'm treated like a lady.
Well, then a gentleman should be at the top of your list. Every word that a I don't know if you're online dating, but I work with a lot of my clients are frustrated, but when I look at their messaging, so what I help people to do basically is to market and package themselves. So here you are, this dynamic, energetic woman, right? Have you ever done a vision board or created your list of the type of man that you're looking for?
I have created a list, but I haven't done a vision board, and we were talking about that briefly in our conversation the other day that, you know, that's something you suggest for people.
Absolutely. You have to have somebody that gets you. Like when I was online years ago before I met my husband, and I was very clear, but people used to see me as a busy, too busy of a person, right? So Wonder Women Like You, that's really my market for this particular book that I just wrote, the busy Wonder Woman that's out there to change the world, which are many of us, right? Because we became self-sufficient. We're always on top of things. We can probably run rings around men. Men don't understand us because they were taught that they were supposed to take the lead. But what's been happening is the women have become like men, and they don't expect what you expect. So the men are confused, girls, ladies out there listening. The men are confused and need us to guide them. So I used to be disappointed the way you are, until I decided that I was going to become that woman that was going to show men how to do it, number one, and I was going to become that woman to show busy Wonder Women like myself who didn't get married until I was in my 40s, and there was a good reason for it. I was in control. I wanted to be in control, and I wanted a gentleman, and I wanted to be the gentleman. You know what I mean? I was kind of like a man and a woman all in one body, and the men got mixed signals from me. Because I was so busy. I was running the company. I was flying all over. I was in television. Men were intimidated by me. So beautiful women like you, if you look, Nicole, you're beautiful. You're sexy. You're beautiful. You're dynamic. Some men would be intimidated by you. So when they see you, they're not sure whether you're married. They imagine you're untouchable. So for women, all we have to do is tame our powerful Wonder Women, slow down the flying around to help everybody, and sit down and just smile at somebody, right, and say hello. Then once you get to connect, whether it's online or wherever, then you get to speak your truth about who you are, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do, and if a man, he looks at you like he's shell-shocked, he's not your guy. My father used to say to me, what are you expecting, Superman in your life? And I said, yeah, I am. I want somebody who's at my level. So you have to call in somebody that's at your level because you are here to make a difference. Look at what you do. You're here motivating people worldwide in health, wellness, wealth, fitness. So you need to have somebody and believe that there's someone out there that's a gentleman that has his game on that could get you and go, oh, my God, here is the dream woman, you know, the one that I've been waiting for, sexy, beautiful, adventurous. That's what you are. So when you put it on a board, the words, pictures of you and a type of man you like and the lifestyle you want to live, all in pictures and words, I did that years right before. I put a picture of a businessman. I always wanted to be with a businessman that was powerful and family-oriented and fun. He had to have a combination of all those. And I knew that I would find that and somebody that would understand me and my mission. So when you're a person who knows who you are, that's a powerful thing. But sometimes women come off as bossy. Just like the bitchy bride, they come off as demanding and they come off as too busy and they don't get real about what they really want. So the little girl part of you, right, you have the Wonder Woman, and then at night laying in bed, you're going, oh, my God, I just did 50 things today that changed thousands of people's lives. When is it going to be my turn? Right? When is going to be my turn? That's what little Renee used to say. My mother would go, Renee, when are you going to slow down to let a man catch up with you? So that's what I would, if I was coaching you or anyone that's like you, which there are very rare, women, you know, but I work with thousands. Like the one that met the guy, you know, that I talked to, she is a very rich and powerful, beautiful woman. But she was bitter. She had bitterness going on in her heart. So that's what this book is about, is how do you open your heart fully, get into your power so much, learn a new language of love so that you are speaking it, living it, walking it, but more importantly, healing that part of you. Because we all have the part, We have the power part, and then there's that little girl. So that's what my book is about, how I healed little Renee. And little Renee and I made some new agreements because I always picked men that were just like me. They were busy and half in and out. They weren't available because I wasn't available until I did.
Such a wonderful title. And, you know, for everybody that's listening to this show, it's no matter what level your relationship, if you're just starting a relationship, if you've been married 3, 4, 5 times, you want this one to stick. If you've been married 25 years and you want to deepen your relationship, this is really a book. I mean, Renee knows how to navigate love in a way that just can bring about the most joyous and joyous of adventures. And I am so grateful that you're here to talk about it. And we only have a couple of minutes left, and so what would be some advice for somebody that's getting married, that they've never been married before, and this is their dream since they were like 6. It's the fairy tale wedding, and they've had the pictures, the plan, they knew how it was going to go, and okay, so now it's coming up, and what would you say?
Well, you know, it's interesting because right before I got married, I did, I really, really was into the whole ritual of the whole thing about preparing myself. I had, I did a prayer, a group of my girlfriends all came together in the morning, and I had everybody come, make sure that you have time to really prepare, like in the morning, sit, you know, have a really nice breakfast, do a prayer, bless yourself. I did rituals in the bathtub where I just kept my heart completely open. I teach a lot of this in my classes about how to keep your heart open all the time. So I did, it was the coolest thing. My aunt was there, and I had my girlfriends all, I was laying on a bed, and they all came and did a little prayer over me. It was the sweetest thing. It was almost like they used to do back in the Roman times where all the women went around the person that was getting married and doted all over them. It was like a dream. It was a dream for me. But I have girlfriends that I had taught these rituals to, so they knew what I wanted. So you would really take it as one of the most sacred days of your life, and actually talk to the groom about him. I thanked my husband. I said, "Honey, thank you so much for all the help to prepare for the wedding. But the one thing that I would suggest to all brides is to take every sacred moment and enjoy each person that you're meeting up with, because everybody's so excited that you're getting married. So take time to actually eat before. These are my tips. To eat before you go up the aisle so you're not hungry, because for the next 3 hours, people are going to be pulling at you and taking your picture and wanting to talk to you. So make sure you don't starve and eat some protein and a little snack before you go up the aisle. And make sure that you're really centered and really ready by getting a good night's sleep before, so that you can let go of all the stress, take your little rescue remedy before you go up the aisle. And really look, when you're looking into the eyes of your soulmate that you're marrying, really when you come to say your vows, when you speak them, there's just a certain connection that you can make with your partner that I remember the moment when I looked at my husband. I just knew that it was the right exact thing. And I remember looking at him right in his eye and holding his hands and really exchanging that feeling of love to such a deep level that people felt it, like they could feel it. I don't know if you've been to some weddings. I've been to a lot of weddings where the minister would say, okay, you know, you vow to do da-da-da-da-da-da, say I do, and then they say I do. It didn't have the same meaning to me as me saying it from my own heart. So I would highly suggest for you, whether you have a traditional ceremony, to add in your own words, because those words are the vow that you're vowing to, you know, the honor, the respect, the honesty, the dignity, or whatever it is that you're vowing to. Make up, you know, a few statements of power and then put those somewhere where you can be reminded of what you vow to. That would be my advice. And to live in that joyful moment that this is your day, and that people are coming to celebrate your love and really be present with each and every person. And I, one thing that I did that was really cool is I had my photographer take pictures of me when people came up to say congratulations to us. And I gave some of my, you know, family members, aunts and uncles, people really special to me, copies of the pictures so that they could bless our love throughout the years. And that was something that people really liked. The other thing that I did, which brides, I've never heard of a bride doing, I bought hearts for people and gave them all a heart so that they could bring a heart home to not only think of our love, but for love for themselves and to bring that magical feeling back to their marriage, whether they were married or single.
Yes. I mean, you're so extraordinary and you're so exceptional. And so tell us once more your website and how people can reach you and work with you and be coached by you and take your classes and buy your book.
Well, the book will be coming out before Valentine's Day, definitely on Amazon. It'll be Get Real About Love. I'm just finishing it. My website is Renee, R-E-N-E-E. P like Peter, I-A-N-E, and you can sign up to get the 7 Secrets to Creating a Great First Impression. And also, you can contact me directly at my office or write to me at Renee@RenePiani. That's R-E-N-E-E at RenePiani. Tell me you heard of me on the show. And I think that on my site there's even, I wonder if I have my free gift. They can get a free gift of my last year's, let's see, do I have it on here? Yeah, there's free gifts here. It says free gifts. Sign up for free gifts, and you'll get a free call with me, and you'll get a free downloadable MP3 of Creating Your Love Vision for this year. So please go to my website and sign up and get my free gifts. It says free gifts right on my website. And check out all of my services. And I would love to give you a free consultation to see how I might be able to help you, whether you're reinventing, you're in love, or you want to find real love. So it's been such a joy. I have so much to share, and I'm so honored to be here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, and I wish you the happiest new year and the grandest success with your book. I know it's going to be brilliant, and I can't wait to get a copy. And I thank you so much for your expertise, your time, your talent, your magic, your vision, your beauty, your love, and your joy, and for sharing your time with us today.
I'm very honored. I'm very blessed. And thank you all for listening. And I'm here to help you, you know, get real about love, because that's really the most important thing that you could have in your life is the choice of a life partner. And if there's anything I can do with for you, Nicole, or anyone listening to help you with that part of your life, I'm here. That's what my life is dedicated to.
Well, thank you so much. Wonderful speaking with you today. And we will look forward to speaking with you again. And congratulations on the launch of your book.
All right. Thank you. I can't wait to get the link to share it with all my friends and everybody. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Wow, what a wonderful guest. What a wealth of information. It's so exciting for me to bring somebody on that's that much of an expert in love, in romance, in passion, and keeping that spark alive and all these incredible ways in which she shared to be able to really be in your heart and share love in those beautiful moments from the day that you're getting married to the happily ever after and the rest of your life. So thank you, Renee, for your time today. What a great show. We've got so many amazing shows coming up for you. We have Julie and Michael, my very favorite guest, top numerologist in the world, telling you how to pick the right wedding day. He's going to be joining us. We have our junior talking about sexual intimacy and deepening your love. We have the Atwoods talking about the passion test and everything, how you follow your passion and get closer and closer and closer to your heart and how to have it all in your life and all of that love and so many more exciting guests. So we look forward to you being with us. We thank you for today, for joining us with Renee, and we wish you all the happiest new year and a special thank you to for all of the guests from 2011 that made this such an extraordinary show. So it's Nicole Brandon and Hourglass Bride wishing you a wonderful week and happily ever after.